Hi, this is Chip from Enough's Enough, and I'm on the streets of rock and roll with my brother Ron Keel. Turn it up.
Enough's Enough from their Hard Rock Night album, a heavy-duty tribute to the Beatles back in the USSR and back on the streets of rock and roll. My good friend, Chip, from Enough's Enough. Greetings, brother. Welcome back.
Thank you, my friend. I'm holding my knees. I'm living in cyberspace on my microphone mobile and my English reel-to-reel.
Awesome, man. Congratulations on this cool new release. Available December 10th on CD, digital, streaming, and limited edition white vinyl. Enough's Enough's Hard Rock Night, a tribute to the Beatles. Not just Beatles songs, but classics from the solo careers of Lennon and McCartney. Wings, way to go, Chip. You are releasing your very own white album, dude.
That's unbelievable, isn't it, Danny? Who would have thought that any band would go out and do a tribute record? Actually, this is more like an album that is paying respect to our forebears more than anything. It's a reinterpretation of Beatles songs. But I believe that, without bragging or sounding unmodest, we may be the first band to ever release the whole Beatles record in its entirety.
I think you might be right, man. And I'm really enjoying it. The Beatles were, and still are, such an iconic influence on our generation. I love telling my childhood Beatles stories in interviews, and I want to hear yours. How did your love affair with the Fab Four start out in the first place?
Ed Sullivan, the old TV show. Beatles were on there. My family was nice enough to turn me on to them years later, because obviously I was a little kid then. And I just started listening to Beatles at my mom and dad's house. They had all the records.
I was going to mention that because I saw that on the Ed Sullivan Show. I believe it was February of 1964, but I thought you were much younger than I am.
Perhaps I am. No, you know, I listened to all that old Beatles stuff in the early days because it was a template to my childhood, actually. And, you know, I always loved everything about the Beatles, all the way down from, you know, Revolver and Sgt. Pepper's and Rubber Soul. And, of course, the White Album, one of my favorite records. But I like the early stuff of the solo stuff of Lennon and McCartney. You know, I love the Shea Fish record by Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band. And I love all the Paul McCartney Wings stuff, too. So it was a potpourri of music all the way through. And all those songs are so timeless that what a challenge to be able to take something like this and bring it to fruition.
Well, it does live up to the title, man. Hard Rock Night. I was surprised, frankly, how powerful the album sounds. And it's not just as simple as cranking up the overdrive on the guitars or hitting the drums harder. There's more to it than that. Why do you think Beatles songs lend themselves so well to a heavier, more hard rock treatment like this?
Well, those guys are writing songs, Paul and of course, John, along with George and Ringo. They were writing about all the surroundings that were happening in their lives. They're writing about their early childhoods, growing up around grandma and grandpa. There's little things that happened while they were, as they were kids, things they experienced. And it was autobiography, basically, for all those cats. And then putting pen to paper and then going and singing to tape. And in those early days, I was hanging out with Mick Jones from Foreigner one day. We did a show with Foreigner in Florida and Alice Cooper. And at the end of the gig, I invited Mick to my hotel to hang out. And there was a ton of beautiful talent that was hanging out with us as well. So we were definitely preoccupied because we both loved Trim. And he said to me, he goes, "You know how I learned how to write songs, Chip? I was hanging out with the Beatles. I got a chance to be in a studio with them for about 6 months while they were recording songs." And I said, "That's incredible." I go, "What'd you do?" He goes, "I sat there and watched and learned." And I thought, well, it's fascinating to be in the studio with George Martin and all the guys from the Beatles recording a record. I go, "Were they partying or anything?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "There wasn't big drinking or anything like that." He goes, "But we'd sneak in the closet and we'd smoke some pot together. We'd hide from George. We didn't want to upset him." But the way they went into the studio and bashed those songs out unabandedly was absolutely incredible. Great engineering, too. Jeff Emmerich was fantastic. And what they did in those early days was they were writing songs about their everyday experiences and stuff that they went through. And they just were able to do that in a quick amount of time. There wasn't huge, big budgets, but it was enough for them to navigate those waters. And at the end of the days, they would finish those records and they'd go, and instead of touring, they'd go back in the studio and start making another record.
I think you might have oversimplified it, man. They are songs about real life and growing up and going through all those changes, but I'm not sure the casual listener or fan realizes how musically challenging these songs are. I think the Beatles probably used every chord in the songbook and even invented a few of their own. Time and tempo changes, instrumentation, complex harmony structures. You had to put a lot of thought into it when you headed into the studio to record this new Beatles tribute album.
Well, when Enough's Enough went in the studio to start recording this new record, the first thing we said was, "Let's not overthink this. Let's just go in the studio and bash these songs out and try to pay respect to our forebears and not do anything that would be considered abusing the privilege, because anybody who gets a chance to record Beatles songs, it's pretty special right there."
Speaking with my good friend Chip from Enough's Enough, promoting their new release, Hard Rock Night, which is a fantastic Beatles covers album. Chip, let's talk about the song choices. Some of these tunes have been begging for a hard rock treatment for decades. Others have received that treatment already, like Motley Crue's take on Helter Skelter, Guns N' Roses' Live and Let Die. You chipped those up on this new release. Tell me why those tracks made the cut.
I wanted to pick records and songs from the Beatles from 1967 and above. I didn't want to go back in the early part of the catalog because I thought I knew those songs very well. They were easy to navigate. You know, stuff like Cold Turkey, which, by the way, was produced by John and Yoko, that showed a blues element. And I'm from Chicago. I grew up listening to Muddy Waters and Buddy Guy and Paul Butterfield. those are the kind of artists that I've always loved beyond belief, that I wanted to show that side of the band. But other tracks like Magical Mystery Tour, you can't go wrong. That was 67 for those guys, by the way. And they were really experimenting with a lot of stuff then musically. And I thought we could take those songs and just simplify them a little bit, not mix with the potpourri of what the band carried back then, but go in there with, you know, simple guitars and singing and big drums. We can definitely navigate those waters. That's not the first time that song has been recorded. I'm sure there's other artists that have done it, but no one's done a whole Beatle record, which I mentioned earlier to you.
Your band, Enough's Enough, sounds great on these recordings. The players did an excellent job. Hope that you paid them well for these sessions, Chip.
Well, I'm on Frontiers Records, and you know we know that Sarfino has a Brinks truck full of money. Rumor has it he fell off as well. He'd break his neck 10 times. But the label Frontiers has been very good to us, and they pretty much let us go. They wanted an Enough Snuff album, and we said, well, we got a Beatles record that we're doing right now. Navigating these songs is quite a challenge. You want to hear them? And I sent them out just a couple of songs. I went to the White Album first. I sent them out a demo of Dear Prudence, and they were blown away by it. They said, okay, send us the rest of the record. And then we started just putting it all together, all the pieces of the puzzle. It didn't take as much time as you think, because a lot of these songs were recorded basically, you know, one, two takes, live performances. I wasn't punching in notes when I was singing these songs. I was just singing them all the way through, just like I would sing them live. And if I could do that, then I knew we had a good record. And boy, it certainly was a challenge in the studio laying those tunes down. But at the end of the day, when we finished it all up, we all said, man, this is a potpourri of some great material that is timeless. And our only hope is that maybe Paul and Ringo will give us permission to put these songs out there. And they certainly did. We got the stamp of approval from the Kings.
That's fantastic. And some great musicianship on this album. You, of course, doing a lot of the heavy lifting as usual, lead vocals and bass guitar. But let's mention the guys. You definitely get by with a little help from your friends, Chip. Tony Fennell on guitar, Tori Stoffregen, hope I'm saying that properly, on guitar, and Daniel Benjamin Hill on drums. As a bassist, Chip, how do you approach adapting those classic McCartney bass lines to these new hard rock arrangements?
Well, Paul McCartney invented my job, so I always give a shout-out to him for that, that's for sure. But basically, I just bashed out the songs. I listened to them. I've always taken an English approach to my bass playing on all my records, and the Beatle one's no different. As far as Tori Stoffregen goes, he's a big George Harrison fan. You hear the slide guitars, and that cat just nails it one take. He's just a wonderful player. Always paid respect to the Beatles. Tony Fennell, who's my guitar player, and also he sings in the band as well. He came from a band called Ultravox back in the old days, and he's a real veteran. And he had a wonderful approach to the guitars. He says, I'm just going to bash him out with my old Les Paul, plug him into a Mesa Boogie, and take it from there. And that's basically what he did there. And Daniel Benjamin Hill, I can't say enough about him on drums. Guys, does movie soundtracks, TV shows, commercials. He doesn't just play drums. He plays all the string arrangements. The guy's super smart as a tack, and he's got a great sense of balance on the drums as well. So I've got a great team that's following me. We work together, and there's no I in team. So we go in there, we make these records, and we believe in the legacy of not only Enough's Enough, but the Beatles as well. And this is a nice start for us to put this record out there where maybe we can take the show on the road and do all Beatles songs, and we'll call it the Beatles Rock Show.
That would be fantastic. I was about to ask how much Beatles music finds its way into your set list on any given night.
Well, we just got off a tour with Faster Pussycat. It was called the Straight Outta Quarantine Tour, and nobody was touring in June of this year. We went out there and embarked on a two-month tour playing 500 to 1,000-seat venues. They were all jammed. I'm not bragging. They were packed, sold out. Tammy and his gang came in there. They did a wonderful job navigating their whole catalog of material, and they got quite a few records as well. And every night, my agency, Artists Worldwide, they said, why don't you throw a couple of Beatles songs in this set? Because not only will it help people know that you got a record coming out of all Beatles songs in a couple of months, but you'll also be able to let the promoters know that, hey, if you like these songs, there's a lot more to follow. So we threw in, Matt, we opened the set every single night with Magical Mystery Tour, which very challenging, my friend.
Oh yeah.
As a support band, no sound check or anything. I think we got a line check, and that was it. And then we threw in Jet in the set as well, because that's going to be the first single on the record. And I thought it was really well received by the fans. People were hailing it beyond belief. And then after that tour, we went out and did a few shows. And we call it the Beatles Rock Show. We did Denver, Colorado, and Massachusetts. And people were crying out in the crowd, just remembering these songs, how it changed their life the first time they fell in love, the first time they got high, the first time they heard the Beatles songs. And it really left an indelible mark and an impression with the fans out there. And I think if we go out on tour and play this record in its entirety, people will be blown away.
I agree, man. I think you should do that. And I applaud your efforts and the efforts of everybody involved, the band, the production staff, for giving us a great new Beatles covers tribute album, Hard Rock Night from Enough's Enough, a 10-song collection. Find them online at enoughsenough.com. You should know how to spell that by now. Chip, real quick, before we go, plug your radio show and whatever else you want to talk about.
I'm on the Monsters of Rock every single day, well, 6 days a week, on the Dash Radio Network. It's really easy to find. Dash Radio Network, all you got to do is type in dashradio.com, download the app. It's free. Go to Monsters of Rock, channel 502. It's 24/7, 365 days of the year of nothing but hard rock and heavy metal. And it's A through Z, the whole alphabet of what we listen to all through the years. Yeah, I might be playing Queen and Guns N' Roses and Metallica and Iron Maiden, and I'll mix it in with Ron Keel, along with Dirty Honey, Rival Sons, Vintage Trouble, Greta Van Fleet. It's everything, the whole alphabet of all the bands out there in today. It's a real celebration of life, bro.
That's fantastic. Chip from Enough's Enough on DashRadio.com and on the great new Enough's Enough Hard Rock Night album. The one and only Chip, thank you so much for the call, man. I always enjoy catching up with you, and I really appreciate the new music. And best of luck in life and everything you do, my friend.
Ron, last time I seen you, we were both in Australia together. You were my engineer for all the Monster Rock shows. My program director loves you beyond belief. We throw you in the set all the time. You're played next to Queen and and Cheap Trick and all the great bands that are out there right now. Can't thank you enough for everything you do for me. Let's go to Australia again, bro, when everything opens up, and go celebrate some rock and roll, heavy metal, and some beautiful trim. Because Australia, I love their wine, I love their women, I love all the action in that beautiful country, and boy, they love rock and roll and heavy metal, just like we do here in the States.
That was a great time touring with you last year in Australia. I'll go anywhere with you, Chip. We always have a good time, and we always entertain our people, man. Great job, and I appreciate your time again. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you again soon.
God bless you and your listeners, my friend.
For the complete, unedited versions of the interviews you hear on the streets of rock and roll, subscribe to the podcast, RonKeelPodcast.com.